Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Last Christian, because you might be it if you're just receiving the Lord now. But we're going to have a good time today. We're going to continue on with Genesis chapter 1. And as usual, we have our co-host, Joel J.D. Williams. And Jay.
Hey, David. You know, I'm really getting frustrated at this computer situation here. So I want to start out by telling everybody, please excuse the fact again that our video feed is trash right now. I have been working on it, hadn't fixed it yet. And if we have to, we'll buy another computer. I hope you guys will just bear with us another couple of sessions and then we should be back to normal. David, this is your show. This is the Bible teaching, Bible study. We do it verse by verse. And David, I'm interested to know, are we still in Genesis 1:1, or are we going to go to?
Yeah. We'll kind of butter that up, wrap it up a little bit, and then we'll take a peek at verse 2.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff overlaps, so it's going to be a lot of fun today. I mean, we're gonna rehash a few things that we've done, and then look at some things that we're going to do going forward as well. It's going to be a blast.
Sounds good to me. And what I'm going to do, again, now, people, what I do is I ask questions that I feel like somebody that is a non-Christian might ask, and even some questions that I think a Christian would ask, because a lot of the things that David talks about, I mean, I'm a Christian, but a lot of the stuff that he's talked about, and I never noticed them before, and I went back and looked in the Bible and said, well, how did David find that? And I missed it. Okay, but anyway,
you put it in there afterwards.
I'm gonna kick it over to him now, and David, it is all yours, sir.
Okay, so as usual, we're looking right now at verse 1 up there, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heaven and the earth is plural. It's singular, actually. So we're going to touch on that. I know we've hit before about all, you know, the pictograms that are in there and the numbers. And I know we talked about pi as well.
Right.
So I wanted to just rehash that a little bit. Like right over here, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth is the English. But it really says, while beginning to create the heaven and the earth, he used light. And we saw that. But also this half or this portion, it's like a third of the topic is actually a summary. If you get the Hebrew poetic language, it's always a summary. Hey, we're going to talk about this, and this is how we're going to do it. Okay. Whereas the Greek mindset, and therefore the Western mindset and the American mindset, is more like linear, bing, 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 where the Hebrew is, this is a thought pattern. We're going to introduce all the other thoughts. That's why you see Genesis 1 going through the basics and the summary of the creation week, and then he backs it up and he explains a few more things from there. But even within the verses, he does the same thing. So 1:1 is a summary. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and this is how he did it.
So the text of it is a summary. I'm trying to follow along here. Again, as somebody that's a non-Christian, if a non-Christian mm-hmm. was looking at this, so explain that just a little bit. I'm still confused a little on the Bible. You know, an actual verse being a summary. So can you get into that just a little bit more and explain it just a little bit?
Yeah, let's read it, actually. So it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So this whole chapter, you know, God saw the light that it was good, and then he goes on and talks about each day. So the first verse is really a summary of the entire first chapter, which is really good writing, by the way. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, so then he lays it out. This is how he did it. All right, on day one, he did this. Day two, he did that. And day three, he did this. And on and on. So that is introducing you to what is this chapter talking about. And indeed, What is the whole book talking about?
Okay, now it's beginning to make a little bit more sense to me now, because basically what you're saying is that the book itself is kind of like written after the fact, not before, as in I'm going to do this. Instead, it was I have done this
while doing
I got you.
This is how it's done.
Okay, I'm caught
Hebrew
up.
Hebrew is very esoteric and just big with thoughts, and all of the word pictures are thoughts and ideas. So you can really do a lot with that. Okay. Whereas the Greek is like very, 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 very precise. So God in his wisdom used those both of those languages to get this whole thought out there, but then be very specific about what he meant. And it's like, that's just genius. We did talk about the numbers adding up to 7 in a bunch of different ways. And then we remember we went over how the in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. When you take the sum multiplied by the I forget exactly how it was, but basically all if you add up all the numbers and then divide it by all the words, it actually equals pi. Whereas in John 1:1, it actually equals e, which is logarithmic. But he confirms that, which is really wild. And this is just another proof of how God authenticates his word. So you'll see this, the graphic here, and it says, it has all the words. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et eretz. That's 7 words.
Okay.
Now here's what's cool about this. You take the first letter of every word, they all have numeric values. The bet is 2, so Bereshit bara, 2 plus 2, and then Aleph is 1, and then Aleph Tav is 1 again. You see the numbers going across there. And then you have HaShamayim, so the Hey, is a 5, the Vav is a 6, and then the Hey again, Haaretz, is 5. You add them all up, it's 22.
Okay.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about 22 today because that's how many Hebrew letters there are.
Oh, okay.
And that's very interesting. All right? But if you take the value of 22 and then divide it by the number of words, it's 22 over 7. And that is a quick way for mathematicians, and they all know this, to represent pi. So okay. Here we are back at pi again. You take all these numbers. And so 22 divided by 7 is basically 3.14285. So right. To 2 decimal points, it equals pi. And that's just how do you do that? How do you take the sum of the letters and then the sum of the words and divide that by each other and equal pi? And then take the numerical values divided by the number of words and also equal pi in a different representation that people are used to in the mathematic world to just go quick 22 over 7. So that's really interesting. Pardon me for a second.
No problem.
So, and another thing that's interesting about that is the value 314, Shaddai. We all know El Shaddai, right? Shaddai is another word for the Lord, and basically he is the provider, and that word, when you add the letters up, equals 314. So it's showing that God is here in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
So if it, you know, you got one or two things, it's a coincidence.
Right.
Okay.
But not the whole
book.
But
there's so many of these.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll give you another one. Verse 1 has 7 words.
Right.
Verse 2 has 14 words, which is 2 times 7.
Right, right.
Okay, so how does that happen accidentally? It doesn't. Again, coincidence, you know, there's no such word in the Hebrew.
Right.
The God... The word says the lot is in the lap of the Lord. So, because you know, if you have a digital universe, there's no such thing as random. So that means every time you roll the dice, he picks what numbers come up.
Well, but one thing that jumps out at me is, you know, you do it once, like you said, it's coincidence. But God knowing this and God knowing how men's minds will work, he took care of that situation. Okay, you think it's only once? Okay, oh, here's another one. Oh, how about this? I'm going to give you another one. Oh, here's another one for you. You know, and now you keep calling it coincidence, but let's say you do it.
Yeah, let's say you write an entire paragraph that's not only mathematically perfect, but has all these patterns built in over and over. The same pattern.
Yeah, Einstein's got nothing on God.
At the same time, equidistant letter spacing.
Right.
That has other messages. Okay. So check it out. So there's 14 in the second verse. Duh. So we go to the end of this whole narrative. Now we're in chapter 2, and it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. You'll never guess how many words are there.
Tell me, do that again, because I wasn't counting
well,
in my mind.
In Hebrew. Yeah. Well, it's not going to work in English.
Okay.
Hey, Hebrew. Just take a wild guess. How many words?
Seven, 14.
Seven. Okay, good.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was 7 or 14 because you sounded like you were going on there for a while. So
here's the funny part.
Okay.
The second half of verse 2 is also 7.
Oh,
and he rested
it's not
on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. It's 7.
Incredible.
It's a summary
Yeah.
of everything.
Okay. Yeah. Now your summary makes absolute sense after listening to all that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So it just gets wild out there. And then I want to touch on how many letters there are as well. There's 22 Hebrew letters. And you say, wow, how come there's not 21? Because again, like a Hebrew mindset is to wrap up what you had beforehand. There's another one, like the Jubilee is 7 times 7 years, which is 49 years. But then the next one after that, to button it all up, is 50 years.
Okay.
So the Jubilee is every 50th year. You've completed 7 times 7 years. So now we're going to celebrate on the Jubilee, and all debts are paid off and all property goes back to it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same idea with the letters.
Okay.
So the letters, if you have God and then times, that's the Trinity, times 7 is the superiority. You know, everyone knows what 7 means.
Right.
So 3 times 7 is 21. And to wrap that all up, you got 22 letters. So he becomes the Aleph and the Tav. So he is not only the first and the last, but he is the culmination, the Alpha and Omega of the entire alphabet, which are all pictograms and word thoughts and language. So he is the epitome of language as well, being the first and the last and the summation of 3 times 7, and then buttoning it all up with that 22. And so that's 22 letters. And there's a lot with the 22 as well. I wanted to go over where did it go? Ah, here it is. Okay. There's so many things that are tied up with 22 to show that this is, you know, this is the summation of everything that he's doing. Like when he created the heavens, you know, in the beginning, there are 22 different things that he made. So check this out. You'll see over here we have the heavens, the earth, darkness, deep, waters, light, firmament, dry land, seas, grass, herbs, fruit trees, greater light, lesser light, stars, great whales, sea creatures, birds, wild beasts, cattle, creeping things, and mankind. Okay? There's 22 there because there's 22 letters in the alphabet, and that's a wrapping everything up. So we see that in there, and then we also see 22. And I'll go through this quick because we got a lot of things to get into today.
Okay.
Let me see here. All right. So from Adam to Jacob, okay, or Israel. Okay.
Yeah.
There's 22 generations because it's a summation of the story, if you would. So the letters and the language tells a story. The story of creation has 22 things that he made. And then you got Adam, Seth, Enosh, you see it right there, Kenan, and Mahalalal, and Jared.
Better you than me come up with those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that these all make a sentence, too, by the way.
Oh, good
Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem.
You are kidding me, right? You are kidding me.
No, no, it makes a sentence. It says that man was appointed mortal sorrow, but the mighty God came down teaching that his death will bring rest.
It's incredible.
It's a sentence. It tells the story of creation in that sentence all the way up to Noah.
God makes it impossible for man to copy him, and he makes it impossible for Satan to copy him. He is so far ahead of everybody that, you know, you just need to give up. Just give up and admit he's God.
Put us reason together, he said.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we don't see that in the English, clearly. Oh, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch. But when you understand the Hebrew words, like Methuselah means his death will bring the judgment. It's implying his death will bring the judgment, Methuselah. And he was the longest living person recorded in the Bible, 969 years, because the very year that he died, it was 7 days later that the flood came.
Ah, okay.
They were waiting for him to die because it says his death will bring the judgment, basically. And Enoch named him that on purpose because he got the vision from God of the Nephilim are destroying the earth, and he says, I'm going to bring my judgment. It's going to be this many years. Bing, 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 bing. So he's named his kid Methuselah. Mm-hmm. And when he died, that's the year that it came. And that was 969 years. But also shows, since he's the longest, that God is long-suffering and merciful, that he gave him the longest amount of time to repent, and they still didn't repent.
Yeah.
So the death came, and then that brings right up to the story. Then we got Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, which is where we got Eberus or Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Okay, Peleg, which is his days. The land was divided. Okay, and a lot of people will look at that as where the actual land cracked around the Ring of Fire, which did happen, but also when the nations were divided and spread around the world. Then you got Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, Abraham, everybody knows, Isaac, and then Jacob. That's 22 generations telling the full story. Okay, now I can bring my word to the world because he brought it through Israel. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
So we also see in the number of kings. So the story of the kings.
Okay.
Is here. So we'll bring that one up. We have Saul, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah, Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah, or Azariah, depending on which book you're reading there, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. And that ended the reigns of the kings of Judah, and then people say, or Israel, and then he's like, well, what about the kings of Judah? Well, it kind of goes the same way, but it breaks up. But you'll see all the different letters that are in there too. And what's cool is, let me see.
Well, now, as you're looking for that, I've got a question for you here. The kings. Now, in my reading of the Bible, there was good kings and bad kings. Are you including the bad kings in what you just are going through there? Because, you know, some of them followed God's commandments or tried to, and others did not. The kings that you're speaking of here, there you included all of them, good or bad, in that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking, making sure. Go ahead.
Yep. So now we have, then we go Saul, David, and Solomon. And can Solomon where they split Israel and Judah?
Right.
So now we have Jeroboam. So now down the other leg, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still 22 because it tells the whole story again. Jeroboam, Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, Ahab, Ahaziah, Jehoram, Jehu, Jehoahaz, Jehoash, Jeroboam the second, Zechariah, Shalom, Menachem. I just met a boy named Menachem.
Now I gotta ask another question here. Okay,
and then Hosea.
So these are they the same number? If I'm hearing you right, maybe I'm getting confused here. Same number of judges, or I think it's judges.
Kings, yeah.
Yeah, for both Israel.
For both legs. It was Saul, yeah. David, Solomon, and then it split.
Okay. So there's 22 for both.
Yeah, 22 if you go down either side of Solomon.
Good grief. Okay, all right.
Because, again, the Aleph and the Tav, it tells the whole story.
Okay.
The beginning and the end. It's here we are with the letters. The letters tell the story. Jesus is the story. Or history is his story. And just mind-blowing stuff on how we put this in there. And for anyone to say, I mean, not for nothing, you really have to be a fool to say these are fairy tales and that it's all made up.
Yeah.
Because not only has it stood the test of time for, you know, going on 4,000 years with the writings, they tried to destroy it the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't. Why? Because it is the word of God and it will stand the test of time.
Right.
But if you're really looking, if you're really seeking the truth, you are going to find it. Because there's no way that anybody could just write this from the number sequences to the pictograms to the mathematical numbers to the fact that it's the whole story, the Aleph and the Tav, or the Alpha and the Omega in the Greek, and how it all ties together with now we got intermingled words as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to, on purpose.
Oops.
They saw
the timer again. You got like five minutes left, David.
Oh, terrific. He doesn't love a good timer.
Well, what I was
like, I see him on stage all the time.
Yeah. What I was going to say is I want to make sure that we get we get into this thing and let people know about a conference we had.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get it in the first half of the show, and of course in the second as well. But we had a guest in the last show, Mr. Mike Kerr. And he is responsible for putting together a prophecy conference coming up in Dallas on April the 5th through the 8th. David, you are one of the many speakers. This isn't a small event, people. This is a big deal. Okay, and we encourage you.
We
encourage you to come down. Yeah, we encourage you to come down to Dallas. If you do, you're going to actually get to meet me and David. And a whole bunch of other people. I will have an area off the floor, and invite you to stop by there, and you can get a lot of information on David, on the Last Christian. I'm sure there's going to be some other people there that may want to have some of their information made available in our area, and that's fine. Anybody that wants to put their promotional material in there, I welcome it. Because whatever is going to lead somebody to Christ, I'm all for it. So all these people, that's their intention, or at least it's supposed to be, leading people to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to make sure that they have every opportunity to do that. And we'll also be doing some podcasts and some live broadcasting as well. We'll get into all that later as we get closer to it. But David, real quick, just tell people what they can expect in a conference like that, a little bit about Mike.
Well,
and
you got to go to Hear the Watchmen, MEN, hearthewatchmen.com, and you can find out more about the speakers that are coming and what we're going to be doing there as well. So basically, it's signs in the heavenlies, and we're trying to figure out what they mean. And you know, serendipitously, the Lord has somehow planned this, that the day following the conference on the 8th is the eclipse. So we got another solar eclipse. So the one, remember, it happened a few years ago. Now it's making a big X right across the country.
Yeah.
It will be right in the path down in Dallas on the 8th. And we'll be watching that as well, because again, that's another prophetic sign in the heavenlies. And signs are specifically for, they're that, they're signs. They're, they're not, hey, you get off here. It's, hey, the road is ahead. The exit's ahead.
You know, I'm really thinking of putting up a whiteboard in that back room there somewhere, and make it. People will ask about it. They're not going to know, because all I'm going to do is I'm going to put up a whiteboard there, and it's just going to have numbers on it, like 2, 5, something like that. Okay, and what I'm going to do is every time somebody comes in and tells me they know the date of the rapture, I'm going to change the number. Because I've got a feeling that we'll probably get up into the double digits of the number of people that are going to tell me that they know when the rapture is going to happen. And every time somebody does it, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to say, hold on just 1 second. And I'm going to get up, and I'm going to walk over, and I'm going to erase what's on the board. I'm going to put a new number up, which will be theirs added to the total. And hopefully they catch a clue when I do that. So anyway.
Well, we can unequivocally know that's not the day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I might even put the date guesses up there. That would be fun too.
That's an idea.
Yeah,
like the football lottery at work.
Anyway, we are getting down here to the end of the very first half of the show. We still got another half to go, and David's got a lot more to talk about. But what I want to do is make sure everybody understands we are looking for that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. And we don't know when that rapture is going to happen. That date and time is only known to the Lord himself. Even Jesus said that when he was on the earth. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we really invite you and implore you to do so before time runs out. All you've got to do is say a simple prayer in your own words. Ask God for your forgiveness. Tell him that you know Jesus Christ died on the cross for you for your sins, that he spent 3 days in the tomb and he rose on the third day just like he said he would, that he has ascended to heaven. He is sitting at the right hand of God, and he is coming back first for his church. Every Christian living and dead will meet him in the air. There will be 7 years of tribulation, and then we'll all come back, and we'll take care of the satanic problem after that 7 years has run out. We want you to stick in there with us for the second half of the show, and we'll be back right after a very short break.
From Features Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper. Police have responded to a shooting at a high school in the U.S. state of Iowa, where there are reports that multiple people have been shot. The police have declined to say how many people are injured or if there are any fatalities. The shooter has been identified, police say, and there is no active threat, but they've not provided further details on the gunman's current condition. Here's Dallas County Sheriff Adam Ifonte.
We're still unclear of exactly how many are injured or what the extent of those are, but we're working on that right now.
Court documents show that former U.S. Presidents Bill Clinton and Donald Trump had connections to the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Their names are included in a list of paperwork unsealed by a judge in New York, but there's no suggestion of wrongdoing by the former U.S. leaders. Late singer Michael Jackson and magician David Copperfield are also named. More names are due to be released, potentially including co-conspirators, later this week. Former U.S. President Donald Trump's businesses received almost $8 million from foreign governments during his time in office in potential violation of U.S. rules. That's according to a report put together by Democrat lawmakers on the House Oversight Committee. They warn that the true figure could be far higher. Much of the money came from China and was for stays at Trump's hotels in Washington, Las Vegas, and New York. Police in New Jersey have launched a manhunt for an unknown attacker who shot and killed an imam outside a mosque. Imam Hassan Sharif was found with multiple gunshot wounds at the mosque in Newark and later died. FSN's Jody Jacobs reports from New York.
At this stage, local authorities say they do not believe that the killing of Imam Hassan Sharif was motivated by domestic terrorism or bias. However, they say in the light of the rise in prejudice against the Muslim community, they felt compelled to speak out. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, in a statement, said he wanted to assure the Muslim community and people of all faiths that they will do everything in their power to keep all residents safe, especially in or near places of worship. So far, police have not yet located the shooter and have asked anyone with information to come forward.
Russia and Ukraine have held the biggest exchange of war prisoners since the start of the conflict. In a deal mediated by the UAE, Moscow and Kiev swapped over 200 captive soldiers each. FSN's Daria Bunichuk reports from Moscow.
The exchange of prisoners was the first since August last year. Moscow has exchanged 230 Ukrainian servicemen for 248 Russian military personnel previously held by Kiev. Negotiations apparently were underway as both sides were engaged in an escalating cycle of air assaults. Neither side has disclosed how many prisoners are still in their custody.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Welcome back to the second half of The Last Christian. We are still in the book of Genesis, right, J.D.?
Yes, we are. And who knows? We may get out of it today. We may not. But I'm patient because I'm continuing. Yeah, I'm continuing to learn. Okay, it's all yours, David.
But we will take a nice big gaze at verse 2, Genesis 1:2.
All right.
So, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. All right. So, true form, we're only going to study the first half. So, I want to talk about, it says, the earth was without form. That's the same word as eretz, which it literally means the firm part of the earth. So, technically, it means land. But again, because it means land, it means the earth, as in the globe we live on.
Okay.
So, and that's the implication of it, because again, it's the Hebrew, and it's Aleph, Resh, and then Sade, which is a tz kind of a sound. Eretz. Okay, so it's the chief, and then the head, and then the Sade is like was kind of like an axe. So he's the one that carved out the land. Is kind of the idea.
Gotcha.
So it's really kind of weird how they put everything together, but that's really what it means. But I want to focus on the word without form and void, because that's kind of King James language.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about the gap theory last week, but I really wanted to dig into the words a little bit more this week. And it's tohu and bohu, which rhymes. Okay. So we're getting into the poetry of the Bible too.
Okay.
Because there's meter and there's rhymes throughout the Old Testament as well. So now on top of the math, on top of the pictogram languages, on top of the ideas and how the numbers go together, and on top of the equidistant letter spacing, there's rhyming and meter, and when a restating of thoughts and ideas is also in poetry or Hebrew poetry. So it doesn't, like in Psalm 1, we'll put that one up. And let me see here. So check it out in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. You got three things there. Mm-hmm. So this man's blessed because he doesn't walk with the ungodly, doesn't stand with the sinners, and doesn't sit with the scornful. Now we got the exact opposite of that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. Okay, so now we got the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
See the poetry there. And then he shall be like a... Now it's going to... Here's the result of that. He's not like this. He is like this, and this is what happens. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth the fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatever he do shall prosper. Okay? That's a lot in itself, but I want to bring to sight the poetry of it. Now we have, he's not like this, but he is like this, and this is what happens to him.
Mm-hmm.
First three verses. Now, what do you think happens in the second three verses?
Hmm.
The exact opposite. Okay. The ungodly are not so.
OK. Okay.
They're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What's going to happen to them? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Okay, so now you got to again, I got to jump in here because I think this is an important point here, because when you have the final judgment, or when, you know, after everything is done, okay, you got the rapture to happen, you got the tribulation to happen, you got the second coming to happen, you got the 1,000 years, all that stuff. I don't know. Is that all combined there in Genesis as well? I mean, all that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
scary.
There's
a lot of that in there.
But oh boy,
at this
that's scary.
Point, I wanted to point out the poetry of it.
Yeah, well, okay? You know, somebody told me it sounded. As a matter of fact, the last host that you replaced said that it came on was kind of like Shakespeare. He was an actor at one time in his life, and he said he practiced. He read the Bible by and was able to practice his Shakespeare by reading the Bible. Does that make sense? It didn't make sense to me, but maybe it does to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, because it is. It's very poetic. So now you have accurate history, okay? And they tried to poo-poo that for years.
Right.
But the archaeologists, there was never a Sodom and Gomorrah. That's just a story to tell a parable. And then they found Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
Oh, there was never a Jericho. That's ridiculous. How can he just shout and the walls fall down? Then they find Jericho, okay? And it's on and on and on and on with documentable history, okay? Right. Yeah, we got the mathematics. You got the word pictures and verifiable history, but now you have poetry. How do you do all that and then make it sound fun and rhyme and have perfect meter and juxtaposition of ideas?
Well, what it looks like to me is that God made verification available to you no matter what your interests are.
Yeah,
no matter what your expertise might be, he's got you covered no matter what it is or how old you are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And as we go through Genesis, you'll see not only that, but he answers all the critics way back then when he wrote it. It's like he knew what these people were going to say even now in today's age.
Right. Right.
You know, and he's like, every heresy that's out there is already answered in Genesis, as if he knew that they were going to bring it up way back then.
Right. Right.
Again, well, come on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, and he's just got it covered in every way. I don't see, you know, if you are actually educated and you know how to verify different things, okay, well, use your own test and go for it. And I guarantee you, God's not scared of it. He'll verify it.
Yeah,
for
prove
you.
It wrong.
Yeah, give it your best shot. You're joining a large club of people that have tried and failed. Okay. All right, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. And then the book, The Evidence That Demands a Verdict, because, you know, he set out to prove the Bible wrong, too. So... Mm-hmm. And what he did is like, oh my goodness, there's more evidence of this than even America.
Yeah.
There was more evidence of the resurrection of Jesus, just the resurrection, than there was of the founding of America, which was just a couple hundred years ago. So he's like, I got to write a book.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible and true.
So the earth was without form. Okay. And that's actually one word there. It's tohu. And void is bohu, but it's the people say vabohu because there's a vav. When you put a vav in front of a word, it's like English, we put and. It was without form and void, but it would be connected to the word. It's a conjunction.
Gotcha.
And that's bohu. And what most people don't talk about that is there's something else here too. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Mm-hmm. That is a sister word, the deep.
Okay.
So it's actually tying back. So this, again, is another way of saying the same thing in the first half. With the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. He's saying the same thing in two different ways to make sure you're clear about it.
Okay, gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
So, and we'll look at those words here. Let me see. We'll bring that up there. Tohu. You see that there? Tohu and I just forgot what it's called.
It's okay. You'll figure it out here in a second.
The word study. Yeah, that's it. The complete word study. How did I forget that?
Okay. So I got you.
The complete word study is basically this, that it, although it is impossible to grasp the full import of this word, it is obvious that it has a negative and disparaging tone. It represents chaos, confusion, and disorder, all things that are opposed to organization, direction, and order that God has demonstrated. Okay? So that's Tohu. Keep that in mind because we're going to touch on that too. Okay. And then Bohu, or void, without form was Tohu, and void in what the King James did was Bohu.
Okay.
So it's nice. It rhymes. And that is from an unused root meaning empty, like an evacuity, or superficially an indistinguishable ruin.
Okay.
So it is starting out, and it's just a pile of Lego bricks just sitting there.
Right.
And he says, I'm going to fix this, and we'll get into that too. Now, the word darkness is actually not just the absence of light, but there's always in poetry this idea that darkness has an entity. You know, darkness has a personality, like the essence of darkness. Yeah. So it's not just, hey, there's no light there and it's dark. It's literally the embodiment of darkness. That's what he's talking about here. Mm. And that word there is Tahom, too. But the darkness, the face of the deep is the abyss. And that's Tahom. We'll get into that in a second. But darkness is literally, figuratively, misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, and wickedness. Those are some of the words you can use to describe it. But it gives the idea that it's actually an embodiment and a personality. Okay. Darkness was on the face of the deep. There was such darkness that's there. That's why he said, let there be light. Using it, he had to create light. Okay. And then the face of the deep is Tahom. Well, Tahom is actually the very next word. We got Tohu and Tahom. It's just kind of basically an M on the end.
Okay.
And an M on the end would mean plural, okay, if it was the plural word, but it gives the idea of there's a whole bunch of this this deep. Yeah. King James made it the deep. But it's the same thing as without form and deep. They're sister words. So that the Tahom is an abyss, surging mass of water, especially the deep, the main sea, or the subterranean water level. All right. And if we look at the mem, M is the waves. And the mem, or our M, symbolizes the ocean or sea, or water, because of the waves, also represents chaos because of the waves and all the destruction. So when he says he separated Nishamayim, when you take the Shaz as separation, Mem, Yod, Mem is water from water. Shamayim, that's with the heavens. He separated the waters from the waters above and the waters below. The idea is not necessarily water, although there is water there, and it could be a number of different things. There's ideas out there, but that there was an actual, like an ice canopy over the whole globe at one point, but it melted with the flood, which the narrative of the flood would point to that, by the way. But then there's also the clouds, the waters that are above, and some suspect that at the edge of the universe, there's probably waters too. And that's what he's talking about, the expanse, because he placed the stars in the expanse. I wouldn't be surprised if the entire universe is surrounded by water either.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, that I haven't jumped in on that yet. But, you know, there's two sets of waters involved in this thing. And I'm trying to figure out where that second set of water is that's above us, or whatever. I guess it's above us. Where's that? Where's it come from?
I lean toward the canopy before the flood.
Okay.
Because that was there. But that still doesn't negate the fact that it may be way out in the expanse, because he does say he places the sun, the moon, and the stars in the expanse.
Okay.
And he never tells us how big the expanse is.
Right.
Because it's freaking huge. Okay. But there could still be water on the outside of it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, he's got.
Yeah, that's just something that's confused me, and it remains something that I mean, it's not something I worry about. It's just something I'm curious about. Is the best way to put that.
I can see two different ways that could be possible. Actually, 2.5, because I mean, you could say the clouds too, but then the stars aren't really in the clouds.
Right.
But if you're looking at an expanse, if he says it's in the expanse, it doesn't necessarily have to be inside of that.
Yeah.
It just has to be where when you're looking up there, oh, it's in the sky. Okay. So the stars are in the sky, but are they really in our sky? No, they're much further away.
Yeah, right.
But visually, they're in the sky.
Yeah.
But I have booked a flight to the edge of the universe after the rapture, after I'm done praising him for a while. So if you'd like to join me, I'm going to go and look.
Okay. I'll go with you. I'm up for that.
All right,
I'm up for that travel.
Okay. And we'll get coffee along the way.
Yeah, there you go. And it won't be Starbucks either.
No. It'll be the real Star Coffee.
There you go.
So the darkness is an entity, and it's the, it's like a black hole. Black hole has light in it, but it just can't escape. Mm. That's kind of the idea.
Okay.
Of the darkness that's on the face of this without form, this Tahom, this abyss, the deep that he's talking about. So you see when you're looking at the words, the seven words in that darkness was on the face of the deep, you can see the pattern where he says it's this and then it's this. So he says it two different ways. So that's really interesting, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm still about halfway thinking about the water thing. You know, that's like I said, it's not something that worries me, but it's something that interests me. You know, it's something I'm curious about. You know, so that's all there is to that.
So he says it's on the face of the deep, and the face is also giving it the idea of an entity. Because we think of space too, but this word is actually panim, and it's literally like your face would look at you. So it gives the idea of the deep and the darkness being alive, and then the face of the deep that being having an entity, and that's where Satan loved that more than he loved God, because he wanted to have all the worship for himself, and that's the darkness, because now he says there is no light in him.
Yeah.
And that's really, really scary, actually.
Yeah. That's Satan. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was God's favorite angel. And
He was the highest created angel, and he had, from the word, he basically had... he was the covering angel, which is a ketubah. The covering is a ketubah, and he was the chief angel that would cover as a protection for the works of God, like a ketubah over a wedding. They would put a covering over that because the wedding is sacred.
Okay.
He was there to protect the things of God.
Okay. Well, he did a good job of that.
And then he said, well, why aren't these angels worshiping me?
Man, that's just unbelievable. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Every now and then something pops in my mind, and, you know, I've got no control between mind and mouth. Go ahead.
Nope. It's fine. So the word abyss, too, gives the implication abyss. Megbis is bottom in Greek, and then ah is like without. Like you say, ah, millennial, ah, this, and ah, that. In the Greek, that means without. So abyss means without bottom.
Okay.
There is only one way that an abyss can actually be without a bottom, and that is when it's in the center of the gravity, the center of mass of a gravity, the center of mass, because then no matter which way you go is up. You can't go down if you're in the center.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
No matter which way, are you going down? No, I'm going this way. I'm going this way. Good. Every single way you go is up. There is no down because you're literally at the center of mass.
Okay.
Buddha. And that also implies that the abyss is in the center of the earth and that the earth is at the center of a mass of gravity of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily. And unfortunately, you know, flat earthers use this and they understand that, hey, we are fixed and unmovable, but it's not a flat plane and there's no up or down. If it's an abyss, every direction is up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which would imply that's where we get the, you know, the globe from. And even there's many verses, we'll get into that another time, to talk about, you know, the sphere of the earth. But
yeah, without they kind of the without form and void thing. Now that would tend to indicate that the world was not necessarily a globe or round, for lack of a better word, before God did his thing.
Well, I mean, it was a starting point, and that's the main thing. Starting point is here.
Okay.
And remember, that was made on day one.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then all the stars were spread out on day four.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
So he made day one. He said, let there be light. And he says, okay, I got my stuff. And then there's light. So light creates time. All right. So okay. We see so day one, he creates light and time. Day two, he creates the skies and the waters, the water right. above and below. Okay, day three creates land. Now, if you look at this pattern here, you'll see day one lines up with day four. Okay, two, five, and so it lines over. So one, two, three, and then he fills them. So he creates the space in verse one, you know, he says, let there be light. Mm-hmm. Day one, day two, earth and sky. I mean, excuse me, water and sky. And then day three, land. Okay, now he turns right back around and fills them up. Do you see the poetry here?
Mm-hmm.
So day four lines up with day one, the light and time. The light is the stars. And he says this is for the times and seasons. Mm-hmm. The stars and the light are for time.
Right.
Light measures time.
Right.
Okay, that's where we get quantum theory from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then on day five, he creates the birds and the fish, which fill the sky and the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then day six lines up with day three, where he made the animals, or everything that lives on the land, and then they get to eat the stuff that's growing on the land.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
So again, it's the pattern of bing, 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 and then we fill it, bing, bing, bing. So you can see it's amazing how they, how God has just placed the order. But the very word abyss means there's experiments, we can go into that a long time, that the earth is not really moving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, that's true. But it's also an abyss, which means every direction is up.
Okay, back up. You said the earth's not really moving.
Correct.
What's up with that? I mean, I'm hearing, you know, you got a rotation of the on the poles, right?
It's spinning. It's spinning on a 24-hour axis. Yes.
Okay.
They've measured it. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not flying through space, and that kind of messes up everybody's brain, and people think I'm nuts sometimes because I say it, but that's literally what the word says.
Okay.
And here's the thing. That model is mathematically provable as well, and I'll give you an idea. So if you have two ships in the water and they're going like this,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that's what you see, which one is moving? It could be this one moving, or it could be this one moving.
Okay.
And you have the same effect.
Okay.
So we can literally be at the center of everything, and everything else is moving around us, but since there's no, like, anchor point,
mm-hmm.
you can't say which one is actually moving until you stick your finger in the water.
Yeah.
That's what kind of the Michelson-Morley experiments did. They stuck their finger in space and they figured out, hey, the Earth is on, the only thing they measured on the Earth is a 15 degree per hour spin.
Everything all right, David, else. I got to break in on you. We got 3 minutes and 52 seconds left. Okay. Just right, to let you know. All right.
That's a whole other thing.
I just wanted to let you know about that. I also want to give people a quick reminder once again that, if you would like to meet David and I, and you would like to hear some really good prophecy, I mean, from people who do a lot of study, David being one of them, we invite you to attend the Hear the Watchman Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies Conference. That'll be in Dallas, Texas, April 5th through the 8th of this year. And we'll have a lot more information on that coming in the future. But we really hope that you guys will take the time and show up for that conference. You're going to learn a lot. You think you're learning a lot here, and you are. But David is one of the speakers. So you're going to learn even more. And I know that there's a lot of people that are going to be at this conference, and David assures me he's been to a couple of them at least. I am positive that you will learn something. Positive you will learn something. So if you can't attend in person, there's also going to be a video on demand available. And there's also going to be a live stream available, from what I understand. Now, we're not taking part in the live stream thing.
And access to the recordings.
Yeah. We're not taking part in the live stream, but we are going to be there at the conference. We are going to be broadcasting live. We'll be talking to a few of the people, including David, that are going to be speaking and that type of thing. But anyway, that's coming up April 5th through the 8th. And that, again, to Hear the Watchman Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies Prophetic Conference, April 5th through the 8th. David, we're basically out of time at this point, but I want you to go ahead and, anything that you'd like to end this with, we're under 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yep. Well, it's hearthewatchmen.com. You can go get more information on that. And I just wrapping up with, verse two is there's a lot in verse two. So verse one was fun. But today we're learning about without form, and the face of the deep are essentially sister words. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the deep was basically void. It was empty. And that's where God started to do everything. And he used light. He used light. And then he said, the stars, you're going to measure time. And he placed them in there. So that's just extremely powerful to me, that even our time space continuum that we live in was a created thing by the light of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and he was the light of the world.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we are coming down to the end of this edition of Last Christian. We hope that you will join us every midweek. We always have this particular show. It's the second of our shows each week with David. Again, if you would like to see these things in video form, you can always go to www.lastchristian.net, www.lastchristian.net, go to YouTube or any of the other places. We'll get the video fixed, by the way, so y'all hang in there. Be patient. We'll get it done here. But we do want to invite you to tune in again to another edition of Last Christian, and we hope that you will accept Jesus Christ. Time is short, and it's getting shorter by the day, so we do hope that you will accept Jesus. Until next time, everybody, good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin. I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.